Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome, everyone, to hour number two of Radio Law Talk. I want to give a special shout out to Fred Penny. He's on assignment and looking forward to his return to the booth here, the broadcast booth for us next Saturday's show. I'm Todd Kunin, and to my right is Denise Dirks. Denise, how are you feeling after hour one?
Hour one went really fast.
It did, didn't it?
Yeah, I feel like we didn't finish one of the topics that we might have to touch on.
Yeah, we'll touch on that here in just a second. And then we've got Cal Hunter behind the glass.
Hello.
The smooth tones of
live jazz.
Cal, when I showed up today, Cal was in the booth and he's testing out microphones, right? And he brings up this one microphone, and it's one that sort of really accentuated the baritone in the voice.
All right, here we go. This is that microphone.
That one right now sounds like you're in the middle of some.
I'm in the middle of the desert.
There we go.
And now the smooth jazz sounds of Grover Washington Jr.
One of the running jokes we have on this show is that this is the type of show that if you listen to the podcast, it would be great to listen to in the middle of the Nevada desert at night, when your only other options are the alien shows, right?
Or the live jazz, smooth jazz, lover request shows. Can you play I Love You, Sweetheart?
And the only difference between the two is the alien shows or the talk shows that are on the AM stations. The FM stations still have the alien shows. They're just a little more into it, We're going to listen to something by Grover Washington that I have it on good authority. It actually comes from Delta Gamma 5, his green brother. they're really into their alien shows But speaking of radio stations, I want to give a shout out also to KCPX 1490 AM Southern Utah. They are a new affiliate joining us here for the first time in this show. Welcome to the Radio Law Talk family.
Well, congratulations to them for taking the show and to us for being on their great radio station.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for carrying us on your radio program. And so for you, because I believe you just started picking us up this hour, we finished last hour. We're going to touch on this just a bit, and then we'll get to case or no case. We're talking about an issue here with a lawsuit out of Florida where a doctor's office, and it was a gynecologist's office, is suing the insurance carrier because when the state of Florida did the shutdown due to COVID-19, the doctor's office thought they had the insurance to cover the loss in revenue that was going to result because of the shutdown to their medical practice. And the insurance carrier, citing some clause, saying, well, no, we don't have to pay out. Because if you look at this clause, your insurance doesn't cover virus-related shutdowns, either direct or indirect. And that is where we have the issue here, because the plaintiff, the gynecologist's office, is saying, hold on a second here. We didn't shut down because everybody in our office tested positive for a virus. We shut down because the government made us shut down.
It was an order. Hello.
Yeah. Right. Now, the government may have instituted the order because of a fear of a virus, but the direct cause for us shutting down was a governmental order.
That's a very smart argument. That's really good.
Now, here's the issue. Now, the insurance company would then come back and say, oh, I'm sorry. Please read the clause again, because the clause says we don't pay out for shutdowns due to direct or indirect causes by viruses.
Incident to viruses.
And so what the insurance company is saying is, yeah, the government shut you down. But that was the indirect cause because of a virus. And so this is what's going to be litigated in the courts. Now, I see something interesting here that is probably specific to this specific type of doctor's office. And, you know, I'm not trying to make a joke here, although it does sound like something I would do.
Please don't.
But this is a gynecologist. Now, look, well, I went to doctor visits and had the video visitation, you know, where they'd ask you the question to get prescription refills on medications and things like that. And I just can't imagine doing a Zoom.
I can't even imagine doing a Zoom thing given that, because it's like...
I can't imagine any patient saying, oh, yeah, I'll be comfortable having an examination that way.
No.
I would think that gynecologists, proctologists, a whole ball of them, they are in a specific category where we literally cannot do the Zoom conferences.
I think that's true. They can, by doing the Zoom conference, that could imply, you know, violations of criminal law, perhaps.
Streaming body parts that you can't stream, right.
Exactly. So,
what got you into being a cam girl? It was a doctor's visit, for crying out loud. Right. Golly. So that is, we're going to follow this one, see what happens as a result of this case. As Denise pointed out, all that happened in this case is the judge said, look, this is not something that can be a case that can be disposed of in the pleading phase by a summary judgment motion or something. There are arguments on either side. There was no one piece of discovery that came forward saying one side should win over the other side. This is a jury issue.
It's a jury issue, and it was a valid contract dispute. Now, and that's really, it's going to be interpretation of the contract.
Now, what happens with summary judgment motions? Now, I practice criminal law. Denise is a family law attorney. Fred is the personal injury attorney. But I used to work in a law office where we had a litigator there, and he said, look, there is no greater thing in the law to induce a settlement on the part of a plaintiff than winning a summary judgment motion or prevailing over a defense summary judgment motion to dismiss.
So that's a judge basically saying, I've looked at the facts and I'm predisposed here based on the facts. Is that what a summary judgment
is?
It's
very close to that. There's no dispute as to any material facts. So a material fact is what holds the law, or that has to be found to support the cause of action or to support the defense.
Okay.
And even though there's no dispute as to any material fact, as a matter of law, this person has to win. Right? So it's basically, it's like a trial, but just the judge makes the decision is whether or not there's a factual, substantial, factual non-dispute that allows for one party to win over the other.
It's like the judge, this is so plain.
It's a legal issue.
It's so plain, there's no reason we need to waste a jury's time. I can go ahead and decide this from a plaintiff's standpoint.
Right.
If the plaintiff can survive the defense summary judgment motion, then that case is really ripe
for settlement.
For settlement, because as I've heard often, some things are just too important to leave to a jury.
Well, there's also another question here, and that is, why would you trust your company to an insurance company that would have a clause like that put in? So is that just a big warning to everyone when you buy business insurance?
Make
sure, based on what we've learned, make sure that clause isn't in there. Find another one if it is, negotiate it out.
But it's a common clause, let me tell you.
And how often do people that are looking for insurance say, okay, I need an insurance policy. They go, they talk to the insurance broker. You got an insurance policy? Does this have the coverages that I need? Does this pass muster legally? Yeah. How much is it? Well, it'll cost you X amount. Okay, I'll go ahead and pay for that.
Sign
print.
Here.
We're done.
Sign here.
And they don't read the fine print.
Yeah.
So,
and can you negotiate it out if, I mean, it's there?
Well, in all fairness, too, the insurance contracts allow for there to be modifications periodically.
Right.
All you have to do is send out that addendum or whatever it is that modifies the... Or an exclusion that happens often that modifies the underlying contract.
So we're through our first 15 minutes. When we come back, we'll do case or no case, and then we're going to talk a little bit about more lawsuits as a result of movie. Maybe a little bit of video game lawsuit stuff going on. Don't go away. You're listening to Radio Law Talk.
Are there any popcorn lawsuits? I'm just wondering. Stay tuned. You'll find out next on Radio Law Talk as the show continues.
advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Since 1960, Iceberg Drive-In has been a family favorite for not only our famous thick shakes with unlimited delicious flavor combinations, but also our hand-breaded onion rings, delicious fries, and signature fry sauce. The Iceberg Shake Shop is perfect for high-traffic locations such as busy strip malls, recreational amusement centers, or near theaters. We are seeking qualified franchisees in the western United States. You'll have access to not only the popular Iceberg Drive-In name, but also our procedures, buying power, and operations. Plus, receive support dedicated to your success. For more information, email franchise@icebergdrivein.com or visit our website at icebergdrivein.com.
The cost of getting rid of garbage is high, and recycling products is lucrative. If you're a business or know of a business that needs an individual compactor or baler, call Northwest Compacting at 888-201-0911. If you already have an industrial compactor, baler, or shredder and need service, don't forget to call Northwest Compacting at 888-201-0911. Northwest Compacting, your full-service industrial compacting and baling company. Read more about them at northwestcompacting.com.
Jason Ross back here with Fred Penny, managing attorney from Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. Now, Fred, what type of cases are you dealing with now, and what sets you apart?
Jason, we help people with all types of personal injury cases. We're former insurance company trial lawyers. We understand the other side, which gives us a distinct advantage over our competition. Remember, we don't get paid unless we win.
That's Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers with locations throughout California. For a free consultation, go to pennylawyers.com or give them a call, 1-800-616-4LAW. That's PennyLawyers.com.
This is Denise Dirks. We can represent clients in divorce, legal separation, child and spousal support, custody, termination of parental rights, step-parent adoptions, guardianships, and even conservatorship matters. Call 1-877-886-7186 for a consultation.
The law offices of Denise L. Dirks provide family law services in Northern California. When the law affects your family, call 877-886-7186. The family of attorneys at Denise L. Dirks is here to help.
At TicketChocolate.com, we believe that simplicity.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispico's, 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Real life, I like the Amor Joseph Valley.
Now, Radio Law Talk continues. Here's your host, Fred Penny.
Or Todd Kunin, as the case may be, sitting in for Fred here today. When we went to break, we were talking about the effects of summary judgment and how that can induce settlement. So, to the listener, keep that in your mind, because after we do case or no case, we're going to come back to another case where it talks about how a summary judgment can induce settlement, and it has to do with the movie. But right now, Cal,
to.
Are you ready to do this now?
I am okay. Ready.
All right, here we go. Here we go.
Now it's time to play Case or No Case.
Yay!
In a story that sounds like it could have been ripped from the headlines but was not, Carl Freeburg of San Francisco was feeling great, even though during World War II he picked up a strain of diphtheria in the Philippines. He went in for his annual checkup, and they did blood work like they always did, and they asked for permission to test for a particular antibody protein because the mutation that he got was starting to emerge as a more common threat, and it was not easily treated, even though Carl overcame it naturally. So he said, sure, go ahead, take my blood. They did that. The next thing he knew, here's an article in Stars and Stripes about how a replicatable protein in a soldier's blood was being used to push back against this strain of diphtheria. He read on, and he asked the medical team if that was him, and they said, yes, your blood material has been replicated and sold to a major drug manufacturer for a new treatment of this potentially strain of this potentially deadly disease. Without my permission, Carl said, I think I'm going to call my attorney. And so I ask you, does Carl have a case or no case?
And who are you?
You start, Mr. Kunin. I'm sorry.
I start. Does Carl have a case or no case?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm thinking about this here, and I'm thinking, if you have the antibody, look, if it's your blood that's being used in your DNA and you've got that, that's one thing. But if you have an antibody that can then be used somewhere else, it's not specific to you, even though your body produced it, and they're just replicating that based upon the genetic signature that got it as a result of it. And all I'm really doing right now is just stalling for time.
Vamping while I try to think of something.
I'm looking to see if I can get a clue from Denise as to how she is going to go. I'm going to go with what Denise's standard answer seems to have been recently and say, no case. No case.
All right, Denise, what do you say to this?
So if I understand this, he allowed them to test for antibodies and a specific protein in his blood.
Correct.
And then he later finds out that that protein in his blood was replicated. That means replicated, right? That means like exactly duplicated.
Take it into a laboratory, they duplicate it, they send it out.
And then it created a vaccine, and they were using it now.
I think it was a treatment rather than a vaccine.
Oh, okay, so then a treatment for it. And does he have a case? And I would say, yes, he has a case. The question is it a case? And you talked about it being diphtheria that he got while in the Philippines.
Correct.
Was that during one of the wars?
World War II.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Body overcame it, but nonetheless, they were starting to check people who served in the Philippines for this particular thing. You know.
I think, yes, it's a case. He sued, and it settled.
Okay. That's a good answer. Both of you gave great answers. Very logical. Todd, of course, vamping. Please don't make me give an answer.
Look,
please don't.
I just think about this case from a practical standpoint, and my thought is, let's say this whole thing's a true story. So let me get this straight. You went in to be tested, and they took this antibody, they found it. There is literally no damage to you for them using this antibody. You have not been harmed at all. You have not been financially affected whatsoever, but this thing that they took has now been the means of saving lives of other people, and you want to sue because of that.
Well, it is your blood.
It is your blood, but how have you been? What are the damages to you?
Depends on how much of the vaccine they took.
There you go. Right? That's exactly it. It depends on how much they charge to have the treatment.
Yeah,
no, but how much are you out? You wouldn't have had that money otherwise. All you're really suing is for lost profits.
You're suing for a piece of your blood.
Yeah.
That was you. So I don't know. I want a piece of that patent. Right?
That's my thinking.
See, it's a greed-based lawsuit. Right? No case.
Well, let me tell you what I said to that. Those of you who said it was a case... Oh, Denise, I'm so sorry.
I'm giving him a chance to catch up.
I appreciate that, and I'm sure he does too. And so, Todd, you win. 2 points for you and no points for Denise. Next time, I'm going to take you to Los Angeles via the Ukraine. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is case. I decided I'm going to say Los Angeles the old way now.
Okay.
Not Los Angeles, not Los Angeles, it's Los Angeles.
All right.
That's case
the
or
angels.
No case. Yeah, there you go.
Or angels. Okay. Yeah. All right. So when we went to break last time, we were talking about how if a plaintiff can survive a summary judgment loss, summary judgment motion in a lawsuit, then the case becomes ripe for settlement because the defendant in the case is like, well, I don't want a jury to hear this one. Well, and in the case we talked about with the Florida gynecologist, they just ruled on the summary judgment motion. We don't know if that's going to lead to settlement. But in another case, the subject matter of which occurred in Florida, but the case was filed in New York, what's the name of the movie?
Pain and Gain.
Pain and Gain, starring The Rock and Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, so it wasn't Major Pain?
this is interesting because perhaps this movie was based on real life. It was a real life story, and there was no, I don't think there was any warning or disclaimer at the beginning that it's similar to, it's not the same, or whatever. Because in this, there was a businessman who had been kidnapped. And this is a true story. And he was tortured and kidnapped by a gang. And in the movie, they made the gang members, the kidnappers, sympathetic. And people then could go in and see the eyes of these kidnappers and get into their stories and actually humanize them.
Poor people.
Yeah. But what they did that was really bad was that they made the person that was kidnapped out to be this horrible, gross creep.
Someone who deserves to be kidnapped?
Yes, exactly.
Oh,
and
he filed a lawsuit.
You bet he did.
How did he do?
When we come back from the break, we'll talk about what happened as a result of his lawsuit. Remember, the first one we used in this lawsuits out of movies, they were kind of ridiculous lawsuits, right? This one, maybe not so much.
Someone filed a lawsuit based on a movie that made you look like a bad guy.
Yeah.
For whom would you cheer? We'll talk about it coming up here on Radio Law Talk with Todd and Denise. Don't go away.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor. And the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-263-2610. 800-263-2610. That's 800-263-2610.
Warning. Don't let your business get left behind in what is likely to be the biggest economic boom in recent history. If you need to build for your business to grow, call General Steel today for a pre-engineered steel building designed for your needs. No wasted space. Steel prices are expected to rise, but you can still lock in your price on a General Steel building. And you can still save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction. As much as half. But you must call now. If you need a church building, office, warehouse, manufacturing space, retail space, or more, call General Steel today. You can still get the General's 50-year structural warranty and General Steel quality, all at a price you can afford. So don't let rising steel prices put your project out of reach and stop you from making your company great.
800-617-9312. 800-617-9312. 800-617-9312. That's 800-617-9312.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
White House physician Dr. Sean Conley updates us on President Trump's condition at Walter Reed Medical Center after the president tested positive for COVID-19.
We are monitoring him very closely for any evidence of complications from either the coronavirus illness or the therapies that we are prescribing to make him better. We have monitored his cardiac function, his kidney function, his liver function, all of those are normal. And the president this morning is not on oxygen, not having difficulty breathing or walking around the White House medical unit upstairs.
A spokesperson confirmed that Vice President Mike Pence and Second Lady Karen Pence were tested Saturday morning for COVID-19 and received negative results. The two also tested negative on Friday. The White House also saying that Pence will host a White House coronavirus task force call at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Radio Law Talk. I like that show.
It's time for more Radio Law Talk with Denise Dirks, Todd Kunin, and your host, Frederick Penny.
Radio Law Talk and RadioLawTalk.com.
So, going to the break, we were talking about the show Pain and Gain, Mark Wahlberg and The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. And it involved a couple of bodybuilders, and they were gang members, and they had kidnapped this one business owner. And interestingly enough, the villains, supposed villains, the body gang member bodybuilders, also in real life, and this is based on a true story, had murdered a couple as well in 1995, and they were both convicted of that and sentenced to death. And we'll talk about what happened with those. But getting to the civil lawsuit, in the movie, the person that was kidnapped was portrayed as really being the jerk, and they tried to portray the two bodybuilders as being the sympathetic characters in the film so that the audience would really feel for them. And so the real-life person whom the character of the person being kidnapped was based upon filed a lawsuit, because he was wrongly portrayed in defamation. And that's the lawsuit he filed. It was filed in the jurisdiction of New York.
No wonder they portrayed him as a jerk. No, yeah. I'm just kidding.
Well, so they file it in New York, and this is back in 2015. In 2015, the defense, which would be the movie studio, the producers, it was a Michael Bay film, the defense filed a motion for summary judgment, claiming that no cause of action had really been stated and asking the judge to dismiss it. And the judge said, no, this one should go to trial. And guess what happened after that?
Well, I'm thinking that the studio lost.
Starts with an S, rhymes with Edelman.
Oh, yeah.
There, settlement.
Sit down and give the guy some money and let's go home.
Settled the case. And that's what happens. You know, if the plaintiff can survive judgment. Survive the defense summary judgment motion, then the case becomes ripe for settlement because, again, some things are just too important to leave to a jury.
Well, it leads to the question, what kind of financial damages did he claim he suffered as the result of being portrayed as a bad dude?
Well, and I think that also leads to the settlement. After summary judgment, you can see both parties talking to each other with this sort of dialogue. Well, the defense is going to say, all right, we go to trial. You stand to lose nothing because people are going to go, yeah, all right, yeah, so they portrayed you this way. And to your question, what damages have you suffered?
Right.
Yeah, something nominal. It's not going to cover the cost of this trial. And by the same token, the plaintiff is probably saying, well, I'll see your speculation that I'm going to get nothing if I win, and I'll raise you with a, what if the jury decides to go ahead and hammer the snot out of the big movie producer worth millions and the little business owner is worth nothing,
sure,
and you capitalized on this, and he deserves a cut of the profits you made by portraying him wrongly, and, you know, well, that could be very substantial.
I was on the jury, that's how I'd go.
Yeah, that could be very substantial.
It could be also extreme emotional distress,
mm-hmm,
because here he is. This is his story. It is a traumatic story, and it would re-traumatize him.
It could have also caused,
yes,
his business to suffer, could it not? Don't you think? If,
sure,
people looked at him and said, I always thought he was a good guy. Ew, he's a jerkball. Yeah, you know,
yeah,
something like that. Yeah.
And so, as a result, you know, both parties have something to lose. You know, and that is why it settles, because you don't know what a jury is going to do. Look, I do my trials in the criminal realm. It's criminal law, right? And so the cases that when I was a DA, I had to prove beyond a reasonable doubt. Now that I'm a defense attorney, I have to try to show that there is reasonable doubt such that a conviction should not come down the pike. And you know, the one thing that is the constant in between both a criminal trial and a civil trial when it comes to jury trials, one thing that is constant through both of them is this. You never know
what the jury's going to do.
You never know what a jury's going to do. I did a case once in a criminal trial.
Yeah.
So we did this case in a criminal trial, and the judge is instructing the jury. The judge instructing the jury, do not consider punishment when determining whether or not the defendant is guilty. Punishment is up to the judge. Do not consider punishment, the effect of a guilty verdict.
Jury, the first question from
jury
the jury.
Jury gets the case. They're not in the jury room longer than an hour. I was a prosecutor when this would happen. They're not in the jury room longer than an hour. I get the call. There's a question from the jury. Judge wants you in chambers to go over the question. All right, we get there. We sit down. Defense attorney's there. First question from the jury. If we find him guilty, will he get probation or does he have to go to prison? Oh, my gosh. Did you not listen?
Well, but maybe did the judge raise that red flag by giving that instruction?
Yeah.
Well, if it's a standard instruction, the judge has to give that one in every case.
I see.
You know, it's like,
wow.
Yeah, no, I pretty certain there was an instruction on that one.
Can we see the probation report before we determine innocence or guilt?
Yeah, it's just, look, you're just there. Did the facts meet the elements of the charge defense?
So in this particular case, Pain and Gain, were the kidnappers, ultimately, did they have a criminal matter?
They did have a criminal matter because, in addition to this kidnapping, they had committed a murder on a couple. Thank you for bringing me back to that. And they had committed a murder, and they were both prosecuted and convicted in the state of Florida, and they were both sentenced to death for their involvement and for the murder of the couple. And then 2016 came along.
And they were good guys, according to the film.
But not according to the film, not because of the film, but they appealed, both of them appealed their convictions. They didn't appeal the convictions, they appealed the sentence of death that was imposed. And the Florida Supreme Court vacated the death penalty, claiming on the grounds that Florida's death penalty sentencing system was unconstitutional. Now, the way they phrase that, the death penalty sentencing system is unconstitutional. Look, the death penalty has been proven to be constitutional. This doesn't violate cruel and unusual punishment. However, just because the penalty has been ruled as constitutional, whether you agree with that or not, and I'll keep my mouth shut on that one because I have views that seem to tick off both sides of the aisle, but the manner in which the death penalty is reached can be unconstitutional, and that is what the court said. Maybe it's, I mean, it was...
Especially if the judge has no discretion. That would be one thing that, you know, that the court could look at.
I mean, for example, in a conviction, the jury has to be unanimous. 12 people in the jury, it has to be for guilt, 12-0. In this particular case, the jurors voted 8-4 to sentence him to death. So the sentencing did not require a unanimous vote like the conviction did. I don't know if that was the basis of the unconstitutionality of the system, or if it was some other basis, but they
maybe he wasn't allowed to do mitigating circumstances in the sentencing process itself. You know, there could be a lot of things come up.
Essentially, it's just, we're not saying that the end result by itself is unconstitutional, but the manner in which you got there, the system in place that got you there, that is unconstitutional, so it was vacated. It was vacated for the one, I don't have this here, but it was likely vacated for the other because they were sentenced under the same
system. Just having their sentence, though, reversed did not impact the fact that the underlying crime happened.
Oh, yeah, that's correct.
And they're still in prison. They're just not subject to the death.
Yeah, you know, when somebody has their death sentence overturned, but they still stand convicted, I mean, if it's a DNA complete exoneration, we're not talking about that. That's something different. But right. In the case where the death penalty is overturned, the default to go back to is life without parole, and you're not getting out of prison. You stay.
Well, yeah, but I'm not being carried out.
Well, that's true. Yes, yeah, so, you know, there are exceptions. Come on. So that's what happened here in this case with the pain, and that's just a lawsuit that came as a result of a movie.
So, how old is this movie?
I think it came out in like 2014, 2015, something like that. I remember the promos for it in the sense that you usually see like magazines and internet pictures and stuff. I remember that during the filming of this case, Dwayne Johnson and Mark Wahlberg got unbelievably huge in terms of their physical stature. They weren't just actors. They were actually living the life of bodybuilders while training for and filming this movie. And I remember Dwayne Johnson.
They were cut.
He was huge, and so was Wahlberg. And to the point that some people thought they were roiding up, but that was never proven. But it was amazing how big these guys got.
Mm.
So just really dedicated to their craft. We are almost through 2 hours. One segment left here. We're going to head away for a break. Don't go away. You're listening to Radio Law Talk. Cal, take us out.
All right. We appreciate you turning on this. And remember, go tell your little radio station or your big radio station, thank you for carrying the show. And if they're not carrying all 3 hours, you can say, that's okay. I'll just go to RadioLawTalk.com and I'll stream the show live, or later on I'll go to iHeart Podcasting and listen to it on delay. So that's Radio Law Talk on RadioLawTalk.com. We'll be right back.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com. All advertising for legal...
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Are you ready for what's next? It's likely coming. More food shortages, power outages, grocery stores closed, social unrest. Ask yourself, Do you have enough food and supplies on hand to last at least 30 days? Most Americans do not, but you can. Avoid the panic of the last-minute rush. Order your 4-week supply of emergency food today from MyPatriotSupply.com. Starvation or dependency on the government are your only alternatives. Avoid those and the pain of being unprepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Build your emergency food supply with meals that last up to 25 years in storage, shipped discreetly to your door. Folks that know what's coming are using today to prepare. There's time for you to do the same. That's MyPatriotSupply.com, the original Patriot Preparedness Company. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamG'day.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamG'day.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamG'day.com with Longevity. TeamG'day.com.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Stop it.
Now, Radio Law Talk continues. Here's your host, Fred Penny.
War Talk Unit, as the case may be. We just finished last segment talking about a case that was brought where somebody had been portrayed, they believed, unfairly in a movie, and that resulted in a lawsuit and ultimately a settlement in their favor. And, you know, it brings to light a certain issue about defamation, what happens when you're wrongfully portrayed or wrongfully accused of something. And there is another story that has been circulating, comes out of Hollywood, and it deals with a comedian named Brian Callen. Brian Callen, comedian, who's also an actor. He's been in a show, I think his most recent show was called The Goldbergs. That was probably the one that got the most play. It's kind of it's a comedy, but it's not one of these multi-cam sitcoms where it's on a stage with a live studio audience. It's more like a Malcolm in the Middle type, where it's a comedy, but it is all done on a set and with not in front of a live studio audience, obviously. And Callen was in that, and here's what happened. So, you'd have to be pretty much living under a rock the last 5 to 8 years to not know that there has been a huge movement, and rightly so, to really, how do I put this, clamp down on sexual assaults and people in Hollywood taking advantage, males taking advantage of females and what have you. But so there's been this movement, and an accusation came up about Brian Callen some time ago in the LA Times. I think this was in like July, but it was alleging conduct that had occurred 20 years ago. So an actress had claimed to the L.A. Times that 20 years ago, shortly after she had moved to L.A. and befriended Mr. Callen, her allegation is that that he raped her on a date, when they had gone on a date, and that it, based upon her statements, indicated that she may have also been given some sort of drug that affected her ability to resist and to do things. And those were her allegations. Now, she has since married somebody else, and you know, she wasn't married to Callen at the time. They were just friends, and they had dated. And Callen's response to the whole thing had been, well, no, this was consensual conduct. So when the allegations came out in the L.A. Times, I think it was the 31st of this year, July 31st, when the allegations came out, his response was, look, we did engage in relations, but they were consensual. I did not rape her. Okay. Well, he has now filed a lawsuit. He, Callen, has filed a lawsuit. But he hasn't filed a lawsuit against the L.A. Times. And he hasn't filed a lawsuit against the female, Gabrielle Tigerman. He hasn't filed a lawsuit against her. He's filed a lawsuit against Tigerman's husband, current husband. And the allegation is that the husband, since the July 31st story came out, has been contacting agents and production companies and managers who have
comedy stores
as well, who have had previous dealings with and have hired or represented Callen, and encouraged them to drop him as a client, as an act in the comedy store, to what have you,
and to not keep their contracts.
That's right.
With him as well.
And that is the basis of the lawsuit. And it's very interesting that that is the basis, and that the husband was joined, as a defendant in that. Talk a little bit more about what the allegations are, what's going on there, Denise.
Well, what Callen is saying is that the husband's acts of contacting those important people around him have caused him economic damage. That he's actually lost agents, he's lost comedy stores that used to employ him, he's lost, all the people around him that used to be supportive of him and help him in his comedy business, and that has caused great interference. So the acts of the husband have interfered with his economic contracts.
Now, here's the thing. So he sues the husband. Callen sues the husband. Now, to the best of my knowledge in reading this, I haven't seen the complaint, but in everything that I've read in doing the research about this, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't believe Callen has sued the husband for slander or defamation of character. The allegation is tortious interference with a contract.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
And notably, Callen did not sue Gabrielle Tigerman, the wife, for saying any, even though Callen has said, this was a consensual issue, I did not rape her, he has not sued her for defamation.
That's correct.
He has not sued the LA Times for similar. I mean, this isn't like the Johnny Depp case, although that is
over. But there's a big reason for that.
And what is that?
Because to defamation, truth of the allegations could be a complete defense.
Yes.
In tortious interference with contractual relations, it is not.
So let's
that's a huge difference.
So let's clarify what we mean by that. When we say truth is a defense, let's say that Callen sues Gabrielle, the wife, for defamation because she claimed that he had raped her 20 years ago. If she is able to prove that he indeed did, to the satisfaction of the jury, then that's a defense to her being sued for defamation, right?
Yes, and that would also apply to the husband.
Yes.
So if the husband is sued for defamation and the wife comes in and testifies as to what happened and she is believed, then the husband's statements as to what Callen did to his wife would have a complete defense of the truth.
So if the cause of action now is not defamation, but tortious interference with a contract, and let's say for the sake of arguments that the defense, that the husband who's being sued, wants to come in and prove that in fact Callen did rape his wife 20 years ago, does that evidence even come in?
No.
Why not?
Because it would be prejudicial. And
would it constitute a defense?
It doesn't constitute a defense, and it's not relevant.
Yes.
Because what's relevant is, did the husband's acts of making the phone calls and, you know, constantly contacting these people to get them to fire and or not represent Callan, did that cause Callan damages? That's literally what is going to be at issue. It's going to be a fun one to watch.
It could be shown that it was actually the allegations, hypothetically, if it were shown that the allegation was true, that he did in fact do that to this woman 20 years ago, the husband's still liable for tortious interference of contract based upon the way the law is written and the jury instructions are.
Now, something else occurred to me that Callan could have done. And that is, Callan could have brought a civil harassment suit against the husband as well. Because what he's doing is interfering with his profession, his reputation.
Callan. Yes.
Yeah, what the husband was doing with Callan. And so that could become harassing. That could become breach of peace. I mean, there's a lot of different things. And maybe he could have got a harassment suit protecting himself from.
And in that type of a cause of action for harassment, if it was shown that Callan had indeed done that to the woman 20 years ago, would that be a defense to the harassment action?
No.
No, it wouldn't. And so it's kind of, it's unique. We'll follow this to see where this one goes, because the lawsuit was just filed. But, you know, for my two cents, there's a lot of strategy that goes on with the lawyers. But from an optics standpoint, in terms of Callan's ability to clean up his image in Hollywood. And mind you, cleaning up your image has nothing to do with the outcome of a lawsuit. It has to do with allegations and maybe just filing a response to those. In terms of cleaning up his image, if you don't file in your legal pleadings anything that challenges the veracity of the underlying claim that he had done this to the woman 20 years ago, you're going to have trouble with your image going forward. So that's what we got, and guess what? We are done with hour number two. Stay put.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk Incorporated.
The headlines, you know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.